G'day, good morning everyone. Good to see you this morning. As we begin this section of our gathering, I've got a question for you. What are you doing here? Why are you here? I don't mean some kind of, you know, airy-fairy, what are you doing on this earth? I mean, what are you doing here, sitting in that chair in this building this morning? It's a rhetorical question, so, you know, you don't have to shout anything out. Probably don't want that kind of chaos around, but what kind of purpose or mission do you have by being here this morning? You know, our collective mission is to know Christ and to make Him known. That's why you're a part of Lismore Baptist Church. Did you realise that? The reason you come here on a Sunday, the reason you might go along to a small group during the week, that's the reason why you would put your name down on a roster or be a part of men's ministry or women's ministry. Our collective mission and purpose as a church is to know Christ and to make Him known. As our mission statement, as our purpose for gathering together as a collective, everything ought to hang off that. And because it is something so central, so foundational for us as Lismore Baptist Church, it makes a lot of sense, as John mentioned last week, to take some time at the beginning of the year to explore and unpack what it means, what it looks like to know Christ and to make Him known. And that's what we've been doing throughout the month of January. 2 weeks, we've been doing kind of 2 weeks on each of those components, each of those parts of that mission statement. So the first 2 weeks of January, we looked at to know Christ and explored what does that look like for us. And last week and this week, we're looking at the second part of that, to make Him known. And I guess if, as we've looked at to know Christ, if knowing Christ is our journey together of discipleship, of inviting Jesus into all that we do, then to make Him known is alerting people to the universal reign of God in Christ. Now this wording of that I actually got from one of the best, I think it's the best sentence summary that I've come across about the mission of the church, our purpose as a collective. And it was written by a South African missiologist named David Bosch, and he wrote this all the way back in 1995, would you believe? And this is the one sentence summary that I think encapsulates our purpose and our mission as the church. Mission is more and different from recruitment to our brand of religion. It is the alerting of people to the universal reign through Christ. And I guess with that one sentence, he's said a whole mouthful. Knowing Christ is inviting Him into all that we do. Making Him known is alerting people to the reign of God in Christ. You know, it's so much more than telling people information about Jesus. It's so much more than convincing them to come to church on a Sunday. You know, as if our mission was simply doing or saying something so someone would ascribe to our set of beliefs and sit in one of our chairs here having ticked that box of their salvation so we can say, yep, okay, we've filled another seat, yep, we've got another one. As if our purpose and mission was like some Pokemon Go for people's souls. You know, we've got to catch them all. Our mission to make Christ known is so much more than some information about Jesus. It is alerting people to the universal reign of God through Christ. Now, for some of us, 1995 is a long time ago. So for some of us, it feels not that long ago. But this idea, this is not some new innovative approach or understanding. You know, alerting people to the reign of God has always been at the essence of the mission of the people of God. If we go back further than 1995, even back further than 1975, actually if we go back thousands of years, the exiled people of Israel were being called to preach the gospel of Yahweh. In particular, in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapters from about 40 to 66, the word evangelize, the root word that we get where we get evangelize and preaching the gospel, to tell the gospel, it appears several times throughout those chapters in Isaiah. Now, I'm not going to take the time this morning to explain all that context, but if you want to know more about the exiled people of Israel, about who is Isaiah and why does it matter that we know all that stuff, come along here on a Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. And join in Alan's Old Testament study group, and you'll be able to go on that wonderful journey, connecting all those dots and understanding all that. But there is one example. There's an example of Isaiah's use of this word of preaching the gospel, of telling the good news, that I think is worth highlighting. Actually, I'll do two. Why not? So, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, is saying, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." Where it says there, "you who bring good news," that's the same word that we then see into the New Testament as well about evangelizing and proclaiming the good news. But a particular one that I did want to highlight this morning, because this next one in Isaiah chapter 52 is actually directly quoted in the New Testament on more than one occasion. And the cluster of words around this verse, around that idea of telling the gospel, of the gospel announcement, the words of peace, salvation and kingdom, they're all instantly recognisable as important New Testament gospel terms and themes. So let me highlight this verse for you this morning. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 7. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Those brackets I put in there myself just to highlight where that word that is then translated into the Greek as evangelize sits in this verse. Twice it's mentioned. And that's the essence of the mission of Israel, which is then taken up by followers of Jesus in his new covenant. The alerting of people to the fact that our God reigns. And in the New Testament, as we know, that rule, that reign culminates in the death and resurrection of Jesus. But that rule has always been the object of the mission of God's people. So when we talk about making him known, that's what we're saying. There's this great quote from a New Testament scholar named N.T. Wright, which it's longish for something to be read out, but it sums up this continuity between the Old and New Testament better than I ever could. So I'm going to read it out to you. The last little bit will come up on the screen, but I wanted to read this quote because it encapsulates this continuity throughout the Bible story of this mission of making Christ known, of alerting people to the reign of God. So this is what N.T. Wright says. "The New Testament picks up from the Old the theme that God intends, in the end, to put the whole creation to right. Earth and heaven were made to overlap with one another, not fitfully, mysteriously, or partially as they do at the moment, but completely, gloriously and utterly. The earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That is the promise which resonates throughout the Bible story, from Isaiah and by implication from Genesis itself, all the way through to Paul's greatest visionary moments and the final chapters of the book of Revelation. The great drama will end, not with saved souls being snatched up into heaven away from the wicked earth and the mortal bodies which have dragged them down into sin, but with the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to earth so that the dwelling of God is with humans. Now that is good news. That is gospel. So our mission as Lismore Baptist Church, to know Christ and to make him known, is derived from the mission of God and his church from forever. Our mission, to know Christ and to make him known. However, for too long, it seems to me, we've reduced this down to primarily information about how to go to heaven after you die, with a large kind of footnote about increasing your personal success and happiness through God, with a small footprint about character development, with an even smaller footprint, I mean we've made this the real fine print, about spiritual experience and social and global transformation. We've reduced it right down from something as wonderful to something reduced right down. I mean, reducing the good news of Jesus to this is like reducing a bull down to a stop cube. I mean, if making him known is the alerting of people to the reign of God through Christ, then it seems to me that our mandate is to do whatever is required in the circumstances to both demonstrate and announce that kingship. An American author named Madeleine L'Engle says it this way about how we go about living that out. How do we go about living out that lives that alert people to the reign of God through Christ? And she says this, "We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right they are, we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely they want with all their hearts to know the source." Making Christ known is not about convincing people of his reign and its relevance to their lives and their world. Because foundational to our faith is the premise that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is forever relevant, always, everywhere, to everyone. Foundational to our faith is that it's good news. It's good news to all. I love Paul's declaration in Galatians chapter 3, where he breaks down the three key social barriers of his time. He says, There is no more Jew or Gentile. There is not male or female. There is not slave or free, but you are all one in Christ. In that sentence, Paul is breaking down the three main social barriers and walls that people would build. He's like, no, the good news is good news to all. It is relevant always, everywhere, to everyone. That is not something that we have to try and muster up and convince people. This announcing and demonstrating mandate can be found in a whole bunch of different places throughout Scripture. And we might think of James's connection to faith and works. In Titus chapter 2, Paul is encouraging Titus to equip the church that their lives, they would live in a way that their lives would make the teaching about God, our Saviour, attractive. This idea that their lives would actually communicate what alongside what they're teaching. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 15 to 16, Peter writes that we ought to be always prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks to give us a reason for the hope that we have. And we ought to be doing that with gentleness and respect. And why would people ask any questions to the church Peter was writing to unless their lives reflected and communicated what they believed? And even the story from Acts chapter 4 that John mentioned last week, we see this connection. You know, Peter and John, as they went up to the temple, they demonstrated the reign of God in Christ by healing the beggar. Because in the world to come, there will be no disability. So they demonstrated the reign of God in Christ. And then they announced it as they explained their actions to that gathering, to that assembly of religious leaders. And in verse 16 of chapter 4 of Acts, the religious leaders, they confer together to try and figure out what they're going to do with Peter and John. And one of the things they mention is this notable sign that they have performed. What is it a notable sign of? It's a notable sign of the universal reign of God in Christ. To know Christ, the journey together of discipleship, inviting Jesus into all that we do, to make him known, alerting people to the universal reign of God in Christ, doing everything we can to announce and demonstrate that reign. And you know, as we wrap up this series and we consider our mission statement, and we consider how do we as Lismore Baptist Church make Christ known, the questions that we need to be asking as we figure that out together are not, we ought not be asking questions about how do we attract people to our building, or how do we add people to our programs, or how do we guilt each other into trying to sell Jesus to our neighbours and our friends. You know, better questions to ask as we seek to navigate this year together under that mission statement. The questions like, what does the kingdom of God look like in Lismore in 2019? Or what if the kingdom of God has come and is overlapping with the broken world which I live, how can I alert people to that? What does it look like here and now for these people? How is the good news of Jesus good news here? I mean, these are the questions that we need to be asking, and we ought to ask them regularly. The beginning of the year is certainly a good time to be asking those questions. And whether you've been living in the same area for 50 years, or you're moving into a new neighbourhood, or even as a church, as we're considering planting a church, they are the questions that we need to be asking. You know, too often when we think about church planting, the questions that often come up are, so what time should our gathering be on a Sunday morning? Or can we afford a nice comfortable space for that gathering to happen? They're the wrong questions to be asking. No matter what our context, we ought to be asking, what are the connecting points with the kingdom of God here, now, for these people? Because they're there. The connecting points are there. Because the gospel is good news to everyone, everywhere, always. It's not a matter of wondering whether it is relevant or not. It's about unveiling, about revealing where it does connect. So our role in making him known is alerting people to the reign of God, unveiling, revealing where and how it connects. We don't have to try and convince people with clever arguments or pamphlets or trendy gatherings or fancy programs. We're not trying to persuade people like some used car salesperson to buy what we're selling. We're unveiling the universal reign of God in Christ, where and how it makes a difference. We're drawing back the barriers for people to see that our God reigns. You know, as we think about our context here in Lismore, thinking about the culture of Lismore, you know, this place, it cops a fair bit of rubbish. From inside and without, people often rag on Lismore. It's seen as a hopeless place, that only those who are down and out live there, that if you live there, your goal is to figure out a way to work hard or get lucky to get out, to only stay as long as you need. It's a place for those with struggles. It's not a good place. So it's a hole. These are all things people say about Lismore. Now, I know plenty of people say lots of nice things about Lismore as well, and I can say a lot of nice things about Lismore, but these are all things that I've heard people say on more than one occasion. I've heard this kind of talk quite regularly. And that kind of language, that kind of culture, shapes people's understanding of about the place where they live. And it can also actually shape how they see themselves, because culture is such a powerful thing. And when we think about the kingdom of God, there is a connecting point that I think is a point where we can unveil through announcing and demonstrating the reign of God in Lismore. What does the kingdom of God look like? Well, with our words and our actions, we unveil the message that if you live in Lismore, you are not a nobody. You are not someone with no hope or future. You are known. You are known by the Creator of the universe. You are pursued by Him, that He came and met you where you are at to give you life, to give you meaning and purpose and a future for now and into eternity. We announce and we demonstrate that you are not nobodies. You are not unremembered substance abusers. You are not overlooked down and outers from Lismore. No. Each of you and all of you are somebody who is fearfully and wonderfully made, loved and pursued by your Creator, invited freely to take up abundant and everlasting life as you surrender your life to King Jesus. That your life can be characterized, can be bedded and rooted deep in the hope that there will come a time when God's dwelling place will be fully amongst His people. They will be His people and He will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things would have passed away. I mean, isn't that good news? Isn't that the gospel that we've been charged to unveil, to reveal, to announce and demonstrate the universal reign of God in Christ? And that's just one example of how the kingdom of God connects in our context. You know, we might demonstrate that by seeing and treating people as made in the image of God, tainted by the sin and brokenness of our world, and just as much in need of God's grace and forgiveness as you and I. I mean, if we started treating people like that, with dignity and respect, no matter who they are, just like Jesus did, we're making him known. We are revealing the kingdom of God. We are tearing back the barriers for people to see that our God reigns. So our mission statement as Lismore Baptist Church, that which everything ought to hang off, how we see ourselves and all the things in which we do, to know Christ, the journey of discipleship together, inviting Jesus into all that we do, to make him known, alerting people to the universal reign of God in Christ, doing everything we can to announce and demonstrate that reign. Whatever we do in 2019 as Lismore Baptist Church, whatever it is, may it hang off that. Amen. Amen.